Good morning. What a glorious day. I'm very happy. I don't know about you, but I'm happy, number one, that I woke up knowing that God loves me and is with me, but also that the cool change has come. Absolutely. I'm not one of these people who likes... Oh, thank you very much. I've got plenty of water, I'm right. Not one of these people who likes to bake in the heat. I like the cooler weather, and it's just really lovely. God is good, amen. And this morning, it's a wonderful time to come together. I've got some really, really good news this morning. We've heard, as we've sung about Christ is enough for me, and then as Gary just came and sang, I'm bound for glory because Jesus got a hold of me. And that's a very, very powerful thing. But you know, often we sing those things, but do we really understand in our hearts what they mean? We've now come into 2015. Who can believe it? All the mothers said probably amen. All the rushing around for Christmas and all the Christmas presents and all the eating and all the celebrating. And then we saw on New Year's Eve, John and I showed our age. We sent all the young ones off into the city and we stayed home and prayed the New Year in our easy chairs. But and had our own little snacks and celebration. But we saw on the television the crowds and crowds of people in the city, and it's all very good to be gay and to be happy and to be rejoicing, and people making all sorts of promises to one another and declarations and resolutions. But those things are just words if there's no oomph to them, if there's no belief, if there's no Christ in them. And, you know, I was really drawn, as Pastor John spoke last week, when he said it's not about resolution, it's about resolve. And I went and I looked that up. And a resolution is a decision to do or not to do something, but it's just a decision. But the important thing is that a resolve is a determination, a firm determination to do something. It's a commitment. It's a moving forward into something. And that's what we as Christians need to do, make a resolve and a firm commitment. And then I went to the scriptures in 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12 in the ESV version, and it says, to this end we always pray for you, that our God will make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every good work of faith by his power, so that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and that you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that powerful? And so God is calling us today to resolve, not to have resolutions, not to make vain commitments, not to just speak words. You know, God has called us to a purpose, and I've spoken about that before. But if we're going to fulfil that purpose, we need to be totally committed. But we need to also understand what we have been given in Christ. And this morning I want to talk about the anointing. I want to speak about that awesome Holy Spirit who has come and been given to us to enable us to break the things that hold us. And so this morning, if you've come, Elder Lewis said, with burdens, as he said in communion, if you've come with all sorts of manner of things, and we all face those, the world is full of turmoil, there will be tribulation, but Jesus said, I've overcome those things. But you see, the key is that we resolve, that we commit ourselves to believe those things, not in here, but in here, that they become a living part of our lives. There is nothing but nothing that we cannot overcome in Jesus. But you see, the problem is that we get so caught up with what I feel. We get so caught up with what I hear. We get so caught up with trying to live life as we think we need to live it, instead of getting into the focus and the purpose that God has for us. And there is not one of us here today, not one, who does not struggle in those things. But you see, unless we know when we wake up in the morning that the same God who was with us yesterday is with us today and will be with us every day. We then are not fulfilling. God spoke through the prophets and the disciples, and he said that in the last days he would pour out his spirit on his sons and daughters. Are you a son and a daughter today? Have you been saved by Jesus Christ, by his precious blood? Are you raised into eternity with him, and have you been empowered with the Holy Spirit? Then you are son and daughter. And then in an unprecedented way, he would pour out his spirit. And that's what I believe, that God is beginning to stir our hearts to and position us for. You see, God wants us to position ourselves. I was thinking about, you know, the fires, the terrible fires that we've experienced, and very bad in South Australia. And the radio was full of news to tell people that they needed to get out of their homes, or they needed to position themselves. When we have storms and things, we need to position ourselves. And you see, it's the same in everyday life. Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, is calling us to position ourselves. The anointing of God is to empower us and to equip us to do the things he's called us to do. And I hear so many people, you know, I see many people as a counsellor, and they come and they say, I want to do so many things, Pat. I really believe that God wants me to do that, but I don't know how. Well, it's positioning yourself. It's getting into the Word. It's allowing the Spirit of God to speak to you and to raise you up. It's a way far beyond our meaning and our natural understanding. The anointing speaks of God's favour. You know, God's favour is upon us. But do we live in that favour? Do we live in that favour? And it doesn't mean that we don't have days or times or moments where we can feel downcast. It happens to me. But you see, if I'm positioned in Christ, and when I know that the Spirit of God is within me, he is faithful. And so therefore, he then comes and speaks into my heart like he did to David. And David said, oh, my soul, why are you disquieted within me? Why are you downcast? Why are you disturbed? I will put my hope in God, and I will yet praise him, for he is my Saviour and my God. So just as readily as David felt down and depressed, the Spirit of God brought this comfort to him and was able to lift him up. And you see, David is no different to us. We are no different to him. In fact, we have a greater position because we have the Spirit of God with us 24/7. He never leaves us. There's an exciting aspect to the anointing that is not just about what God can do for us, and that's what I want to talk about today. We often get so caught up about what God can do for me. It's all about me. Well, you know what? It's not all about me. It's all about God. And you see, for us to be in a right position with God, we have to think about, what am I doing for God? Where am I in God right at this moment? If the Lord Jesus Christ put his hand on you and called you to eternity, where would you be? Do you think about that? We don't like to think about the end. We don't like to think about death. But as Christians, we must. Not to ponder on a negative sense, but to be looking forward to that awesome place. Gary sang this morning a song from John Sagon, very dear friend of Gary and Robin's and of ours. And he was a man who committed his life to serving God, going out all over the outback of Australia. And his idea was bringing man and God together through song. And he wrote some beautiful songs. And you could hear his heart in those songs. And you see, he was bound for glory. And the Lord took him home about 3 years ago, I think it is now. But he was ready. He was ready to be with the Lord. But right up to the end, and he was not well, he suffered. But right up to the end, he was bound for glory. He could see that glorious place of heaven where God had planned for him. And so we're to be thinking about where we are today, not about what God can do for me, but where am I? And so it's about stepping into a place of breakthrough. And as I said, we all go through times of disappointment, of disillusionment, of frustration, all sorts of things. You know, you may be facing difficulties in your marriage. You may be facing difficulties in your finance. You may be facing difficulty with your teenagers, your health, all of these things. There are so many things that will come against us. There's nothing perfect. There is nothing perfect save Jesus Christ. Even in a family that really love one another, I praise God that our kids have come down from towns. We've all been together and we all had a great day Christmas. But there are different little attitudes and things. We all grow up. We're all different. But it's knowing that breaking of the power of God to say, look, that doesn't matter. Put it aside. Let it go and live for God. About seeing Christ in each other, about honouring and respecting one another. And church, we so much need that today. If we're going to be this witness that we've been called to be to this world, we so much need to be on tap. We so much need to be in that place where God has called us to be. And so whatever the thing is that you are facing, there is nothing but nothing that you cannot overcome. And you see, I hear people say, oh, I'm just about ready to break down. Well, if you're in Christ, if you know him, if you're in that place, you're not going to break down, you're going to break through. Because when you hit that place, it's like, good on you, Susie, it's all breakthrough. Breakthrough. We used to sing a song. Break through to the higher ground. Break through. See the walls come down. Break through and see what he's done for you. Are you ready to break through this morning? And you see, it's not in the power of my strength, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so it's this anointing. You know, the word of God says in Isaiah, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And you see, what it's saying, if we look into that scripture, it doesn't just break the yoke, it demolishes the yoke. Do you know what a yoke is? The Bible speaks about yoke. And you younger people may not know about a yoke. And this word is for young people today, even children, because we are all in this together. The yoke was a long piece of wood that was strapped across two ox so that they were locked in together and they could walk together. And you know, today there are so many, even Christians, that are yoked to the world, that are yoked to aspects of the world. It may be music, it may be sport, it may be whatever. There are things that yoke us to the world. And you see, the anointing of God comes to break that yoke. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life not for nothing. He gave it to bring us freedom, to take us away from the bondage of those things. And you see, often we have these difficulties in our life, in our marriages, in our health, with our children, whatever, is because we become despondent. Or we lose our way. And so we start to try and fight fire with fire. When something comes in against us, we get all revved up and we're ready to go again, instead of knowing that anointing that breaks the yoke. You know, the anointing, we know the story of David. David was the youngest of Jesse's sons. And so being the youngest, and he was the smallest, and he wasn't the most attractive, he was seen as rather the least. And so he was put out to look after the sheep. And we know the story that the brothers were all there and they're up there and they're all terrified of this Goliath. And the whole army was just absolutely paralysed with fear. And David comes along and says he wants to do something. And of course they laughed at him. They laughed at him. But you see, God already had his hand on David's life. And so then Samuel came to Jesse's home and asked Jesse about these sons. And the older boys came and they were tall and strong and handsome. And God said, no, not them. Not them. Because God saw the heart. Now, it doesn't mean if you're tall and you're strong and you're handsome, you young men, that it means God's anointing's not on you. But you see, God's not looking at that. We won't impress God with that. We might impress one another. You young men might impress the girls, or the girls when they're all pretty and sweet might impress the boys. But you see, when you get into a marriage, then you start looking at the heart and the commitment, and that's when we see who we really are. And so God wants us to be true to what he's called us to be. And so God saw in David a man after his own heart. He saw that heart of worship, that heart of softness, that heart of surrender. And so we know the story that Samuel anointed David with the oil. And you see, that's the anointing we have, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to enable us to raise up and to grow and to do all God has called us to. There's a scripture in Isaiah 10, and it's where the Assyrian army is coming against Israel. and it speaks God's anger and wrath against them and his judgment. And it says in verse 27, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointed oil." And so here we see that the people of God were burdened and despaired because of this army. But God had had enough, and so God broke it, and he took the yoke from them. And you see, when we are positioned, and when we're in that place, and we cry out to God, God says, "It's enough." And he says, "I will show you how to break that." God just won't do it for us now, because he's given us the ability. He's given us his spirit so that we would know how to break it. And so God is speaking to his people and telling them that the burden and the yoke is destroyed by the anointing. Do you want to be free this morning? Totally free? Different to the way you came in? Will you really need to allow the Spirit of God to minister this word right down deep into your spirit? Not into your emotions, because they will change and they will feel differently. You know, even I hear people say, "Oh, I love that person so much." And as soon as they do something that displeases them, they become angry and disillusioned. It's only the commitment of the love that Jesus taught us that will stand. This is a season, I believe, for yoke destroying. What is it that the yoke around your neck? And you see, I see many young people going out and yoking themselves to the world, getting caught up in things, and they say, "But I'm only young, I only live once." Well, yes, we only live once, so make the most of it. Be in the right place. And they get out and get into all sorts of things, and you see, those things that seem pleasant and enjoyable become burdens. They become a yoke that binds them and nearly chokes them. And so we see that God wants to break that. God wants to anoint us and set us free to fulfill the call on our life, that we're liberated to walk. God doesn't want us to struggle through this life. He wants us to walk in freedom. He wants us to walk in wholeness. He wants us to know that joy, that wonderful joy that only he can bring us. You know, when we think about the anointing, I've heard it said that it's like petrol to a car. You men love your vehicles, and you could have whatever it is in your mind now as being the most fantastic car that you could own, and the best colour and or whatever. I don't know about car names, but I like red. But anyway, you might like something of another colour. I know Linda Lee, she's not here, but she's got a little red car and she just loves it. Yours might be blue or yellow or purple or whatever. Whatever it is, but it could sit out in your driveway and it's absolutely beautiful upholstery, got the latest musical apparatus in it and whatever you have, Bluetooth, whatever. And it's absolutely wonderful, and you go out and you get in it, but it won't go anywhere unless it's got petrol in it. You've got to fill it. It's only the petrol. And then you see, once it has the petrol, then you could still sit in the car and nothing happens. But guess what? You turn the ignition, you put your foot to the pedal, and off you go. And so we see that God has given us the anointing to drive. He's given us the power to brake. He's given us the power. And you see, that vehicle will do exactly as you allow it to do. You know, when we go through red lights or we speed, "Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't help it." Well, that's rubbish. Of course we could help it. This mind controls this foot, not the car controlling me. And so do you get the picture? We can become yoked, but we need to know the anointing. Maybe you can't feel joy because you're still carrying burdens and yokes from the past. Now you see, yesterday's gone. We can't do anything about yesterday. We can live for today. And if more Christians learned about the living in the now, living for today, it doesn't mean we don't make plans and things like that, but our whole source of existence is the now. All that we have is the now, the here, the today. And that's the time to put things right with us and God and with one another. But you know, if you're not right with God, if you're not in the right place with God, if you're not really standing in that position, if you're not really in that anointed place, you'll never be right with those around you. Your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your sister, your brother, your son or your daughter. It'll never be exactly what it needs to be. Our past experiences can hang around like a yoke, past failures, and we start to feel them hanging on us. And God says he wants to see you break that. The Lord's saying today, don't brush these things aside. The Holy Spirit is wanting to put a finger on each of our lives. I know he does on me, and I'm no different than anybody else. And he puts his finger on me and presses on me. Come on, Pat. What are you doing? Think my thoughts. Think my way. Let it go. Let it go. Sometimes, you know, I'll get concerned about something and my husband will say, let it go. You've got to let it go. But you don't just let it go out there. You let it go to God. And you've got to come back and look at the whole picture and see the purpose. And you see, we can't see right up ahead. I can't see what's right up ahead. I've got a lot of desires and a lot of dreams. But I know that I can trust them to the one who can see. He sees everything very clearly. And if I'm walking in him, then my confidence is that I will fulfill all of those things, that I will see all of those dreams and those visions and those things fulfilled in my life. We have to be able to identify the difficulties in me, to identify the difficulties in me and bring them to the Lord and allow the yoke to break. I think this morning some of you may be saying, I've got things around my neck, but they're too hard to break. You don't understand, Pat. You really haven't been in my position. Well, no, I probably haven't. I have my own things I have to battle, but I haven't been in yours. But I know that the God who is in this word, the God of this word, knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're facing, and he knows exactly how to bring you through. And you see, the word of God says there is nothing but nothing that is too difficult for God. Nothing that we cannot shake off. There is nothing that can rob us of our joy. We no longer have to be cast down. The Lord brings us a fresh anointing every day as we tap into the Holy Spirit. We need to get the yoke off our life. We need to say, I break this. And you see, you might say, but the circumstances don't change. God won't take you to see the circumstances change till you change. You need to change. I need to change. We need to stand in that position. Otherwise, God can't take us where he's calling us to go. And he knows exactly what that is. In Psalm 92, verse 10, David says, I've been anointed with fresh oil. David knew a lot about anointing. He knew what it was like to experience a rich sense of God's presence and help right in the middle of battle. David's sense of who he was. David knew who he was and he knew who God was. He knew that there was a rock higher than him. He knew there was that shadow that he could run to. He knew there was that presence that would keep him. You might think that your burden is too hard or it cannot be destroyed. But Jesus died on the cross to destroy all things. David also, here in 1 Chronicles 14, 8-17. Now the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, and all of Philistine went up to search for David. And David heard of him and went out against them. Then the Philistines went and made a raid on the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? The Lord said to him, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. Now you see the secret there, that David went to God. Obviously he must have felt concern with all of these coming against him. But he went to God, and he didn't just say, God help me. He asked God for direction. He asked God what his plan was. He said, will you deliver them? We need to be speaking in those terms to God. We need to be declaring the word back to God. We need to be speaking in a position of authority, knowing that we can say to God, will you do this thing? If I do this, will you do this? Is this what you've committed to me for this time? And so they went up, and David defeated them. And David said, God has broken through my enemies and my hand like a breakthrough of water. Just like that. Just like breaking through water. And yet we think it's so hard. But to David, it was just like breaking through water. Now we know the power of water. Water can drown us. If we suck it in, it can sail a huge ocean liner. And yet if you go out into the deepest sea, your hand will just cut through the water. Your hand will just cut through the water. Water, it's only in its volume, and often it's our fear of the water that causes the biggest problems. So David said, just like my hand with a breakthrough of water. And so these verses tell us that David had the anointing. And you see, also it tells us that David was standing strong in God, standing in that anointing, and guess what? The enemy doesn't like it. And so he'll stir up trouble. And he was stirring up those to come against David because David was standing in God's authority. The devil doesn't care much when we're mediocre. When he sees that we're yoked to different things, he knows he's got a hold. But he starts to worry when we stand in that authority, when we stand in that yoke, anointing. And when we start to operate in the anointing, the enemy will come. But you see, that's when we just say, no, no, we don't have to shout, we don't have to scream. We just stand in that place that we're positioned in and say no, and the enemy is defeated. Stand firm in God and the enemy will flee. And so we have to see that God is with us. And when we look at the anointing, we're relying on God's strategies. And there's a territorial place that God has given us, just as he'd given David. It's a place of breakthrough, like the water. And so it gives a picture of gushing rivers breaking forth. And in another version it says the place where David smote the enemy. I love that. I want to be in that place. Don't you? I want to be in that place right now, in the next minute and the next minute and the next minute, when I smite the enemy, when I defeat the enemy, when I crush the enemy, when I see things break like the breaking of water, when I know the anointing is there. You see, when you're anointed, it's oil pouring over you and it's slippery, so nothing can stick. It just slides off. And that's how God has called us to be. Now, it doesn't mean we walk through this life without any issues, because if we did, there'd never be any challenges and we'd never grow. But it's what we do in those issues. Don't give in to them. Don't despair. Don't raise your hands in defeat, but raise your hands in praise to God and stand in the anointing. And know that our God is faithful and he'll come through. If you truly position yourself in the purposes and the places that God has for you in your life, you will allow that anointing to flow through you and over you and out of you to wherever you have to. Sometimes, as I said, people feel at the end of their rope, but that's the time they're ready for breakthrough, and we need to break through. Let me just finish with a little scripture. And I was really taken with this. It's in Ecclesiastes 10:1. And it says, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give out foul odour. Dead flies. Now, you know, we hate flies, don't we? We get one inside and we go. But we're talking about dirty blowflies here. We're talking about blowflies who excrete maggots. And if ever you've seen a whole heap of maggots, it's a pretty putrid thing. Now, they have their purpose, and that's to eat up all of the rubbish. But they can also cause disease and stench. And you see, when we get out into being yoked into the bondage of the things of this world, or when we get caught up in the wrong things, we lose our fragrance, and the odour is not sweet. The odour is not sweet. But when we speak of the anointing and how the anointing empowers us for breakthrough and all the things that God has called us to, we get a picture of someone who carries the sweetness of the Holy Spirit in their lives. We are to be a sweet fragrance. And the anointing gives off that fragrance. Just like the anointing oil in the biblical times followed a special recipe of herbs and spices that had a fragrant smell. And you see, we want to be remembered by our fragrance of Christ. We want to be seen to be a sweet and a fragrant people, a people of grace, a people of, it's only anointing that can bring the grace. You know, someone can do something, we say, oh, it doesn't matter. That's not grace. Grace comes out of here. It's like, it's okay. It's okay. Even if something hurts, grace will take us through and overcome. Don't brush these things off today and walk away from here the way you came. God is calling each time he calls us together, whether it's here at church, whether it's at Bible study, whether it's at prayer group, whether we're gathering with other Christians. God is giving us opportunities. When we come under the word, when we come under the word, God is saying, let me open your inner ears. Let my spirit speak deep into you. You know, we can't walk away from here today and say, well, I didn't know. And you see, God is speaking. Sometimes I say, Lord, how much longer will you strive with us, this world, when I see the things that happen? And sometimes we see things that are just beyond our comprehension and we just don't even want to know about it. It's so terrible. These things that are happening around us, this world that is so broken. And I say, Lord, show me what I can do. And sometimes I think I can only do a little. It's like the ones and the twos or the threes and the fours and those that I see or those that I reach out to out in the street. And God says, don't be discouraged. At least that. You see, when you put into someone's life, when you bring life through Christ to someone else, they're released then to bring others. So never be despondent. But you see, if we're not positioned and we don't know how to avail ourselves of the anointing, if we don't know how to overcome in our life, what good are we to others? Even those nearest and dearest to us, our own children, will come to us with their heartaches. Are you going to sit there and say, oh, well, look, I'm sorry for you, but you've got no idea what I went through today. The washing machine broke down and the car wouldn't start. Do you think they're interested in that? They've come to you to hear some love and some hope and some encouragement. But if you are not standing in that place, you can't bring that. We need to be available all the time, just as God is available to us. Does God come complaining to you when you go with all your petty little complaints? No, he's a listening ear to listen and to love you and to lift you. We need to be standing in the anointing. We need to be knowing what it means to have the power. You know, we've said it before, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, lives in you. Doesn't that grab you? It does me. Sometimes it just stops me in my tracks. What have I got to complain about when the Lord Jesus Christ came to give his life to raise me, not only that I would have eternity, but that I would have power and authority and this anointing today, that he would love me so much, my Father God, that he would give me all the tools. I mean, would you send your child out without equipping it? No, of course not. And so God has equipped us, but we don't use what he's given us. And today I plead with you, church, think about what the word says. It's not what I'm saying to you. It's what the word says. The anointing breaks the yoke. We have no excuses. It's time to stand. Today is a new day. It's a new month. It's a new year. And what a glorious opportunity to boldly step into the new now season. You see, in God, it's the now. It's the now season. Thursday, or yesterday, was about closing 2014. Today is about opening and stepping into a new chapter of 2015. Do you want same, same? I don't. Not that 2014 was a bad year for me, but the Word of God says, going on from glory to glory, I want them all. I want them all. I don't want the hangovers from last year. I don't want yesterday's grace. I don't want yesterday's anointing. I want today. I want all that God has for me today. That doesn't make me perfect. It makes me hungry. Are you hungry? Be hungry for God. He so wants to fill you. And he has everything you need. Everything. Everything. I don't want to amble my way through this year. I want to run for God. And believe me, if I'm going to physically run, God's got to do it. But spiritually, I'm going to run. I'm going to soar. I'm going to soar with the wings of an eagle. And you see, that scripture is beautiful. I'll run and not become weary. I'll walk and not faint as I wait on him. I want to kick goals for him, not literally, spiritually. I want to see all that God has on his agenda for me come to pass. Whatever has been, let it go. Let it go to God. You can't change it, but be all he wants you to be now. Move on in the anointing. Move on into the power and the authority that God's given you. Move on to the life. Don't shortchange yourself at the end of your days. Don't think, oh, I missed out. Well, it's your fault if you missed out. We shortchange ourselves. It's not God. This year matters and your life matters. Your life matters so much that Jesus Christ, as we heard, gave his life for you. So this morning, press on. Press on for glory. Press on through the difficulties. Soar in the anointing of the Spirit of God and know that peace and that joy that comes with it and the overcoming power. So, Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you that we have entered a new year. And, Lord, we thank you that, yes, each day is just another day on a calendar, but it's a day, Lord, that you have called us to rise up in our anointing and know who we are, where we are and why we are, to know what it is that you have called us to, Father, to know what it means to stand in that anointing, in that power, in that authority that nothing but nothing can stand against. And so, Father, I pray this morning that your Spirit, not my word, your Spirit would touch each heart. Whatever it is, Lord God, that is causing my dear brothers and sisters to feel downcast and weary, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would show them that there is nothing that you cannot overcome if they are willing to surrender it to you. If they would come and bow the knee, bow their heart before you, Lord God, and know what it means to be in your very presence and to hear those sweet words that Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it in abundance. That Jesus said on the cross, church, it is finished. Let it be finished. Let it be finished. It's your choice today. It's about your choice. Resolve. Commit yourself to believe what the word says, not what your mind says, not what the things in front of you say. And know the yoke, that the anointing that breaks the yoke and that sets you free to praise him in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.